It's our exalted privilege to have one of our missionaries here with us. Dr. Cherry and his dear wife's with him. God bless you. It's always a privilege to have him here. I've asked him to come preach tonight, and I'm asking for the Lord to speak to my heart. And I believe he's got a presentation he wants to share. But Dr. Cherry, you come right ahead. God bless you, sir. We're praying for you.
It's a great joy and delight for me to be with you this evening. It's a great joy to see you always, Dr. and Mrs. Lastly. What a great man of God. And appreciate Dr. Harry Vickers and the family and all of you, your prayer and support for the ministry of the South India Baptist Bible College. And I'm not trying to praise your pastor here. You have got one of the best preachers in this country. And a man who can truly handle the word of God and with a tremendous and humble spirit. We truly enjoyed him preaching the last 2 years in Crown College. And we appreciate him so much. What a tremendous message he brought for that world evangelism. And we invited him to come over to India to preach for us for the evangelistic crusade. We are planning to have about 5,000 people every night for 5 days. We are looking forward to that. And also I want you to know that we deeply appreciate all that you are doing for the ministry in India. We are going to show you a little bit about, it's an old DVD. It's about 4 years old. And at least you can see what is happening there in the land of India with the ministry of the South India Baptist Bible College.
In March of 2007, I had the privilege of visiting Dr. and Mrs. P.D. Cherian at South India Baptist Bible College and Seminary. Although I've been to the college many times, I am always blessed to see what God is doing in the lives of Asian young people on that campus. Dr. Cherian has told me several times while I was visiting SIBBC, the hope of all India is here on this campus. Of course, Dr. Cherian knows this is not entirely the case, as God has raised up a number of other outstanding fundamental Bible colleges in other parts of India. But I think each of these outstanding institutions, including South India Baptist Bible College, can say the same thing. The hope of all India is here on this campus. The gospel is India's only hope. These students at SIBBC are the young people who will make a difference for the preaching of the gospel in India and in other Asian countries during the next few decades. While I was in India in March 2007, I heard on an Asian CNN news program that nearly 1 in every 10 people alive on planet Earth today is an Indian under the age of 25. Imagine that. 10% of the world's population lives in India and is under the age of 25. The need to reach Indian young people with the gospel has never been greater. God has used Dr. Cherian to raise up a great institution to train Christian workers for such a time as this. This institution deserves our prayer and our financial support. Let's visit the campus briefly. On March 10, 2007, more than 220 young men and women graduated from South India Baptist Bible College and Seminary, receiving various diplomas and degrees. Some of these graduates are already on the field, working for the Lord, evangelizing and planting churches. Some will return to take an additional degree program in the seminary. Some will be teaching in other fine Bible colleges in India. Some will even go as foreign missionaries to other Asian countries.
We were looking forward to this day for throughout this year, and the time has come for those who successfully completed their courses to receive their diplomas and degrees.
Although the campus of South India Baptist Bible College and Seminary includes many fine buildings built to last, more buildings are greatly needed. The administration building, which will include classrooms, study hall, library, and offices, will be completed soon. Funds are greatly needed for a second men's dormitory, an immense building that will cost more than $250,000. A new auditorium to seat 2,500 people is being planned for the future. You can give to these building projects by designating your gifts to Cheerion Building. Please pray that God will provide. The Home of Hope, located on the SIBBC campus, ministers to more than 25 orphans. These children are being educated and trained to serve the Lord. A second Home of Hope building is currently being constructed so that more throwaway children can be rescued. Gifts to this ministry can be designated to Cheerion Home of Hope. The SIBBC Christian Academy ministers to hundreds of young children, most of them from Hindu homes. Their parents want them to receive a good education in the English language, so they're willing to send them even to a Christian school. Many boys and girls have been saved, and some parents as well. This is a great way to make contact with Hindu families. As a result, the local church, which ministers to the people in the area in the Tamil language, is growing. A new building for the Christian Academy will be constructed soon, as God provides the funding. Gifts for this building can be designated to Cherian Christian School Building. Students at South India Baptist Bible College and Seminary eat 700 pounds of rice every day. About 20 fine faculty members must be paid. The utility bill for this campus is tremendous. Many of the students can pay little or nothing for their education. Your monthly support for SIBBC will help train these young people who are the hope for all of India. Please make your check payable to IPM Incorporated and designate your gift to Cherian SIBBC support. The hope of all India is the gospel. At South India Baptist Bible College and Seminary, Asia's finest Christian young people are receiving the finest Christian education available in all of Asia. Thank you for your prayer and financial support for this great work.
I've seen a little bit about the ministry of the South India Baptist Bible College. If you would like to ask me a question, you can ask and I'll be glad to answer. India is only one third of the landmass of America. We have close to four times more people, 1.1 billion people. 84% of them, they are Hindus, 11% Islamic people, 3% claim to be Christians, maybe one half percent may be truly born again Christians. Those 84% of a billion Hindus, they have 33 million gods and goddesses. How are we going to reach them? The only way we can reach them is to train men and send them out so that they can reach those people with the gospel. India has 18 major languages and over 800 dialects. Those young men and women who come to the Bible College, they already know four or five different languages. When they finish their education, they can go back to their own respective places or some other places, and they have no cultural shock. They don't need a lot of money to live there. By the grace of God, we have been able to start over 900 churches in 28 years' time. We graduated over 2,500 students. Started in the year 1983 with 7 students. And when I started that work, the people asked me, who is going to stand behind this work? Who is going to feed these people? But our highest enrollment was 721. The last commencement, we had 115 graduated from South India Baptist Bible College. Then we started an academy we call Baptist Christian Academy. Started with 24. This year we have 484. 98% of them from Hindu background. It provides us a tremendous opportunity to lead them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then my wife and I, we took 25 orphan kids, a lot of those orphan kids, 1 day old, 2 days old. We went and picked them from the hospitals and from slums. One of those young girls today, she looks like a princess. She was 3 years old when we got her. All her back was broken and bruised. And the Lord brought her to our path. And today she's about 12 years old. And recently few of them trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. And I'm excited to see what God is doing there in that part of the world. And last year alone we have seen over 2,000 people trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And I'm truly thankful to the Lord for this church standing with us in praying and supporting that work over there. My wife and I, we are not here to raise a dime support for our personal needs. And this is my 46th time coming to this country, travel all across this country, this wonderful country, raising support to put those young people through the school. It takes about $35,000 a month. That's not my support. That is to feed and educate a good number of students and pay for the faculty and support a number of pastors and build some buildings. Because that will not build the buildings. Right now, there are a number of buildings are coming up. I was sharing with Pastor Jenkins. We laid the foundation for a dormitory building. It's going to cost about $700,000 to build it. We just finished the foundation work. And we don't have anything else to do right now. We are just leaving it there for the Lord to provide us some finance. When it pleases the Lord provides a need and we'll go ahead and build it again. Anybody has a question to ask me? And once again, I want you to know that I deeply appreciate your prayer and giving for that work there in India. Foreign missionaries are not allowed to come to India. Your pastor can come there as a tourist, not as a missionary. But when he is there on that campus, I don't think he will have a problem to share God's word. We are looking forward to that, Pastor Jenkins. You're coming over there. We are excited about it. And bring your family too. We will try to take care of them. Anybody has a question to ask me? No question? And you're giving a lot of money and you don't have a question to ask. Well, I was praying and asking the Lord, Lord, I don't know what you want me to preach. And I just went through a number of messages. But the Spirit of God laid the burden in my heart to preach this message. You may wonder, well, this is not what we expect. A missionary come to this particular church. And this is what the Lord laid in my heart, and I'm going to do it. Please turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1st. Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. As I read, and you can follow in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. And I thought of that. Apostle Paul is writing to those people in Thessalonica and said, his desire was this, that they might grow in grace and knowledge, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Notice this, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. The second time he tells us, you increase more and more. And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your precious word we read just now. Lord, I pray thou wilt truly speak to our hearts. Challenge us, Lord. Cause us to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to speak about just a holiness. That's what one of the chief concerns of Apostle Paul was this. People should get saved and they might live for God. Spurgeon said, be not contented with these unspeakable blessings for thyself alone, but publish abroad the story of the cross. Holy gladness and holy boldness will make you a good preacher, and all the world will be a pulpit for you to preach in. Then he said, cheerful holiness is the most forcible of all sermons. Isn't it wonderful and amazing? To rightly understand holiness, we need to understand who our God is. If you don't understand who God is, we may say, well, when I received him as my personal Savior and God, I came to know him. Yes. A man like Apostle Paul, even after 30 years, he said, 30 years after his conversion, he said, that I may know him. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, I may know the person, I may know the power, I may know his pain, and I may know my prospect. Thank God that you and I, we have a tremendous prospect in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That someday, you and I, we are going to spend eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's our prospect. We are just passing through. In the book of Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15, we read this. For thus saith the high and lofty one, who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Notice this. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also who is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He is holy, and he tells us he dwells in the hearts of those people who have a contrite spirit. He dwells in the heart of every born-again believer. He dwells in us. Now, this evening, what I would like to speak is not the positional aspect of sanctification or holiness, but I would like to speak about the practical aspect of sanctification. Then, of course, this particular portion, this chapter, speaks also about our glorification. If you read through this psalm, you find all these three sanctifications are being mentioned here in this chapter. Notice in verse 7, it says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That speaks about our positional aspect of sanctification. I often tell people, when God the Father looks at us, he looks us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the perfection of his Son in us. That's the only way you and I, we can go to heaven. The Bible tells us, for he hath made him to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the glorious truth. The Hindus in my country, they think they can earn their salvation by being good. The Hindus are like any other religions in the world. They teach the people, do. Someday you are going to make it. They profess themselves to be wise, and the Bible tells us they become fools. Now, thank God, you and I, we have been placed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ the day we trusted him as our personal Savior and God. Now, notice, in the progressive aspect of sanctification, we find in verse
3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Now, for this is the will of God. Every born-again believer ought to come to this conclusion. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. I mean, just, you need not to argue, you need not to pray about, Lord, whether I should live a holy and sanctified life. Now that it's made it very plain, this is the will of God. That's the progressive aspect of sanctification. Then, there is a perfect aspect of sanctification, also we could call glorification. Notice in chapter 3, verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That also can be called a glorification. What I would like to bring before you, just three simple thoughts. The meaning of sanctification, the marks of our holy life for sanctification, and the motives. What causes, what is the cause for us, why we ought to be holy? And now, the meaning of sanctification simply means set apart. There is very simple meaning. Set apart. You and I, we have been set apart to bring glory to God. Now the Bible tells us whether we eat or drink, whatsoever we do, do all for the glory of God. And I often tell those young people in the Bible college, someday you and I, we are going to stand before God Almighty to give an account. How we lived here upon this earth is going to be very, very important. Some build their lives with the wood, hay, and stubble. Some build their lives with the silver, and silver, gold, and precious stones. This ought to be our desire, that our work should remain in eternity, for which you and I, we will receive a reward from him. So the meaning simply means to set apart. You and I, we have been set apart by God himself. Now notice what are the marks of a holy life. And Apostle Paul explains those things in this portion which we read. Now he says in chapter 4, verse 1, holy life is a life that pleases God. No other life pleases God. Notice verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how we ought to walk and to please God. A holy life is a life that truly pleases God. A present infinitive is used there to explain. It's a continuous walk, not just walk today and stop it, but it is a continuous walk. That is what God expects from us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, we read, as a profound example is given there about Enoch. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God hath translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, what? That he pleased God. What a tremendous thought that it is. Enoch had all the earthly responsibilities here upon this earth. He had a family, he had children, like any one of us. Yet the Bible tells us, Enoch pleased God. May this be our heart desire tonight, to please him and him alone. Our Savior is a prime example. John chapter 8, verse 29. Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. That's the testimony of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May this be true in our own lives. Let us make that type of resolution in our life and say, Lord, I want to be like that. I want to do those things that please you and you alone. The Bible tells us when you please the Lord, you will abound more and more. That simple truth. When you please the Lord, you will abound more and more in your family life, in your Christian life, in your witnessing, you will abound more and more. Why some of the families, they die? Because they have no desire to please God through their work and through their lives. Number one, a holy life is a life that pleases God. Not only we hear, we need to ask ourselves, am I truly pleasing God in my life? Second thing, a holy life is a life of purity. Notice verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That word translated there include, when he said abstain from fornication, that includes premarital, extramarital intercourse, homosexuality, and all other perversions. The Thessalonians lived in a pagan environment in which sexual looseness was not only practiced openly but was also encouraged. In Greek religion, prostitution was considered a priestly prerogative, and extramarital sex was sometimes an act of worship. Even today, the heathen, they practice those things. The heathen people, they practice even those things. An Irish woman came to India in Donaghadee, Emmy Carmichael. Her main ministry was pulling down these temple prostitutes. The priests in the Hindu religion, they thought having an affair with the young girl, they are pleasing God. Emmy Carmichael, she was truly burdened to pull those people from that type of environment. Even today, that place is going strong. The people in India, they speak well of her. And Apostle Paul speaks here, abstain from moral impurity and also abstain from mental impurity. We need this instruction more than any other times in the world. Notice verse 6, it tells that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. That is moral impurity. Then he says, abstain from mental impurity. Verse 5, he says, it has to do with the indecency of mind, lustful thought, fleshly carnality, pornography, internet sex. The list goes on. And Apostle Paul warns those people and say, hey, you need to refrain from those things. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentile which know not God. There must be a marked difference between God's people and the heathen around us. I mean, if any man be in Christ, whether it is in America or England or Africa or any part of the world, the Bible is the same for all. No private interpretation. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Our old things are passed away. I come across a lot of people who would say, well, I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to live the way I wanted to live. My friend, mark my word, such men never ever been saved. This reminds me about some mine workers, you know, people who work in the mine, the charcoal, the coal mine. They used to use filthy languages. In those days, they used to carry the coal on the back of ass. Hundreds of ass, they put the bag of coal and they transport it from one place to another place. Those men used filthy languages. The ass got so used to that language, one fine day those men got saved. Their language changed. When the next day when they went there, they started to use a new language. The ass was so confused. It took for a while for the ass to get to use the new language. Friends, if any man be in Christ, doesn't matter who you are, you may be literate, illiterate, rich, poor. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, or all things are passed away. Then the holy life is a life of personal control over your body. Notice verse 4, it says, that every one of you is a personal thing. For every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Everyone, we are personally responsible to lead a consistent Christian life. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, please. There we find the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, I would like to read a few verses, verse 9 on. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. Every born again believer ought to realize the fact that we don't belong to us. We belong to our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has purchased us. We belong to Him. It says in verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, the conclusion is this: glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, belong to God. Simple truth. What is the motive? The motive is for a holy life. It's a simple truth. It is so profound. It is given here in verse 3. It says, for this is the will of God. Can we argue? No, we cannot argue with God. God said, this is my will concerning you. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Then the second thing I notice, God commanded us to be holy. We are commanded to pray, we pray. We are commanded to give, we give. We are commanded to go and witness, we do. Same way, He has commanded us to walk and please Him, to be holy. Notice verse 1. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. It is the will of God. God calls us, verse 7, to holiness. 4:8, chapter 4, verse 8 says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. To reject holiness is to reject God. You want to reject God? If we can live the way we wanted to live, then you need to understand that we are truly rejecting God. Then one more thing I would like to point out to you. What is the motive for us to lead a consistent Christian life? Notice in verse 12. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without. There is a world outside watching us day after day. Mahatma Gandhi made a statement and said, I love Christ. He did not love Christ, at least he said this. I love Christ, but I don't understand why the Christians in India live the way they live. Therefore, he said, I don't want their teaching and preaching. There must be a concord. Concord is agreement. There is must be a concord between our preaching and our practice. The Christians in India, they were having a discord between their preaching and practices. The world would look at us and say, no, if this is what all Christianity is, I don't want that. Many times, we are a hindrance for others to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. One final thing, holy life is a life of great anticipation of His coming. Someday, as I stand before you this day, you know, one of the characteristics of God is immutability. That big word simply means unchangeableness. He will not go back from His word. The one who promised to come, He is going to come. And those of us who have truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to be translated, we are going to be taken away from this world to be with him forever and ever. And the Bible says, if we have this hope in him, if any man has this hope in him, what? In 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 says, if any man has this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Every man has this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This reminds me about the tremendous examples of Daniel. As a young lad, he was taken to the land of Babylon, given an opportunity to live in sinful ways and practices. But what did Daniel do? Daniel purposed in his heart and said, I will not defile myself. Older people, younger people, children, we all ought to make that type of resolutions in our own Christian life. I will not defile myself. We may have to make a resolution like Job did. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. How can I look at a maid? I have made a covenant with my eyes. How can I look at a maid? You know where the world is heading today? A wicked, immoral lifestyle. The Bible tells us, love not the world. That word, love not the world, simply means stop loving the world. Stop loving the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, these are not of the Father but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Someday, you and I, we are going to spend eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I travel around this country many, many times, preached over 1,500 churches in this country. Some of the pastors, when I was there, they preached God's word, established a tremendous ministry. Today, some of them are behind bars. Sad. One of them is a manager in one of the restaurants. Over 1,500 people in that church. He's the man who started the church. Immoral lifestyle. May God Almighty help us. Think about the tremendous example of Joseph in the land of Babylon, in Egypt, not Babylon, Egypt. Daniel said, how can I do these wicked things before my God? How can I do it? That ought to be our response to when we are confronted with sin in our own life. The Bible tells us if we say that there is no sin in us, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. I thank God for 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only life that pleases God. You know, I am 65 years old. I am not going to live another 65 more years. I do not want to live another 65 more years. Whatever the time that God gives us, the only purpose of my heart is to live for him and him alone. I don't want to stand before him to be ashamed. I would like to hear that great commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Is that your expectation to hear from him? If that's your desire tonight, you need to take heed to the warning Apostle Paul has given to the Romans. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Someday we will breathe our last breath. That's over. Then we are going, if we are truly born again, if we are saved, and you are going to stand before him. Let us not build our lives with wood, hay, and stubble. Let us take heed to build our lives with the silver, gold, and precious stones. May God Almighty speak to our hearts. Pastor Jenkins.
Let's all bow for a word of prayer, please. We're preparing for our invitation, and as soon as they get ready, they'll begin to play through something softly. Let me ask you this question to start off with. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Do you know without a doubt that if you drop dead of a heart attack or if Jesus came back today, do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven? If you don't know that, come and let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. And I wanted tonight, Christian, how many of you have a desire, and I trust that all of you have this desire, how many of you have a desire to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? Sure, every hand went up that I saw or so. But I want to ask you this question. Is the way you're living your life proving your hand being raised? Are you living a life in such a way that the Lord knows you really mean when you raise your hand? Now, there's no doubt that all of us can get better. There's no doubt about that. But maybe God is speaking to you about keeping your eyes on the prize. I wonder, Brother Gary's going to begin to sing, as if God probes you and you say, "Jody, I want to come and I want to pray. And I want to ask God to help my life to be well-pleasing to Him. That's what I want." If you feel led to come, as Brother Gary sings, let's all stand together, please. Father, take it, use it, and bless this in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God speaks to you, as Brother Gary sings, you leave your place. Come on. Come on now.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. And may
playing through soft. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. You know, Christians, a lot of Christians, all of us are tempted every now and then to realize we know in our heart that we're not promised tomorrow. But we sure don't live like that every now and then, do we? You know, the Christian life has been simplified. You know what it is? Just please God. If God's pleased with it, do it. If He's not pleased with it, don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Our flesh is powerful. The flesh is weak. And I tell you, my heart's been challenged today. I appreciate Brother Graham, your message. God bless you. Brother Dr. Cherian, God bless you. Thank you for your message. I hope you've gotten it today. Well, another Sunday over. Thank God. No. Hey, everything we saw, and that's an old video. There's more things that's been done. You've had a part in that if you're involved in Faith Promise. Isn't that a blessing? I'm going to share this with you, and we're going to slowly come to a close here. This meeting coming up in January. I've never been to India. Hope they can understand me over there, you know. I'm looking forward to going. Fear and faith clash, you understand what I'm saying, but I'm looking forward to it. Dr. Cherian was sharing with me before church tonight. They're expecting 5,000 a night for 5 nights. He's trying to raise $25,000 for this meeting. That $25,000 provides transportation, provides meals, provides a chair for him to sit in. He said it's a lot of money, yeah, but when you look at it, that's $1 per person. Did you hear what I just said? $1 for one person to be taken to the meeting, fed throughout the week, and get the gospel pumped into them. $1 per person per night for 5 nights. Now, I've told him, and I'm speaking for our church here, but I don't think I'm jumping the gun. We're going to get involved in that, Dr. Cherian. Amen. Can I challenge you to do something? find some spare change in your couch. I'm talking about today. You find quarters around your home. Sacrifice. I want to have part in these 5,000 a night. Can you imagine over a 5-day period? The Lord may bring less or he may bring more. We don't know until that day comes, but let's just say it's 5,000. That's 25,000 people. Could be some of the same people, you understand, coming night after night. But consider 25,000 people. And $1 in your pocket could feed one person that night and provide the chair that they sit in. I'm going to tell you something. I'm excited about that meeting. I mean, what a blessing, you know. Hey, y'all would like to get involved in that. Would you raise your hand? You'd like to get involved in that? Sure, I hope you would. If you don't want to get involved in that, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I'm humbled tonight. Two of our fine missionaries here. Isn't that great? This is where Faith Promise Money's going. And praise the Lord for it. No doubt about that. So, Dr. Charon, we'll be in contact with you, sir. We're going to be having a deacon's meeting before long. Amen. And we'll be bringing some things up to the church. We want to help you with this and with this meeting. Have you all hope that I make it back in January? Would you raise your hand? Sure. Hey, y'all would like to see me video that in January, just to see their faces when this old country boy gets up and tries to speak. Can you imagine zooming in on their faces like, you know, but we're excited about it. Praise the Lord. Let me remind you about the meetings right after church here tonight. Briefly, the puppet ministry down here to my left, the telephone ministry here in the center. And Dr. Cherry and Miss Cherry, if you wouldn't mind to go out to the lobby, I'm sure our folks will want to greet you. Folks, it's not man, and you understand it. It's the Lord in these men, but I feel like we've been in the presence of greatness today. Amen or not. These men are getting the job done. The Lord's getting it done through them is the way I need to say that. And we praise the Lord for it. Be back Wednesday night. Pre-service prayer meeting 6:30 Wednesday night. Just remember, every service, 30 minutes before the service, we'll have pre-service prayer meeting. Asking the Lord to help and bless. Okay? I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to come to the platform. Come to the podium. I always say the platform. He's already on the platform. Come to the podium and dismiss us in prayer. Please remember for these meetings right here briefly tonight.
Lord, our heart has been challenged today, and we thank you for the power of the Word of God that has been faithfully preached and taught today, and we pray that you would help it to change us, to make us more like you. We do pray for Brother Graham and his ministry. Be with him as they travel this week, and Lord, continue to bless the churches that he has helped start with your aid, and guide and direct them as they seek a new church, a new area to start a church, and they return. And for Dr. Cherian, we thank you so much, Lord, for how you've used him and how you've had your hand upon his life. And the power of God is so evident upon him and in him. And we thank you for how you used a man to do a mighty work there in India. And Lord, continue to bless that work and provide the funds they need to build these buildings. Here's a dormitory that needs to be finished, and they need funds. And I pray that as he travels around the United States trying to raise funds, that you would lead him to the right people, that they might be able to raise the money to get this building built, to raise the funds for this special meeting in January. And Lord, just continue to bless them. And then, Lord, we do pray for our church family during the week. God, help us this week to be making disciples everywhere we go. And Lord, use us to reach someone this week, I pray. Help us to give out tracts and to witness and to live a life that is a testimony of the grace of God in our lives. And Lord, we do pray for families in our church who are hurting tonight. You know who they are, people dealing with great physical problems, financial problems, maybe even family problems. May you help them. May you touch them and you work in their lives in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.